Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, and this is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. A lot of different stuff to talk about today. And a very interesting internet, social media, jury decisions coming down the past couple of days. But want to start off with Jamie Glazoff. He is the editor of Front Page Magazine. Has a great new book out, United in Hate, The Left's Romance with Tyranny, Terror, and Hamas. So Jeremy, we'll just jump right into it. Thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
So, you know, Chuck is, as I mentioned, a historian, and we all know the left is crazy and the left, you know, they're supposed to be the party of love, but they're anything but. But your book does a really great analysis, and I've looked through it. I recommend this book to anybody, and we'll give you a chance to tell folks how to get it here. But it's not like this craziness just recently developed. I mean, this is sort of rooted in the left history, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Julie. Well, my parents were dissidents in the former Soviet Union, and we escaped that hellhole. And we came to America. So I'm that story of the child of Russian immigrants who loves America. And the reason I say that is I was growing up in the United States, and I felt so fortunate and lucky and was so grateful to be in the most precious experiment of freedom and prosperity in the world, I began to notice that there was these species of people who were telling me and my family that we were from a great place and that we were now in an awful place.
Huh.
And I began to study these people, and I realized that they were called leftists, and I dedicated my life to understanding them, and not in a good way, but as a diagnosis of something very demonic and evil. And throughout my life, I saw that they were venerating and worshiping the worst totalitarian regimes in the world. And when 9/11 happened, I saw this euphoria and ecstasy in them when they looked at 9/11, when they saw Ground Zero. And I remember when Bush sent some troops to Iraq and Afghanistan, there were these anti-war demonstrations. And there was one demonstration of this barely clothed woman marching alongside an Islamist screaming Allahu Akbar. And I realized I have to write something about this. And I wrote United in Hate at that time. This is the updated revised version, more relevant than ever. But I showed the history of the Bolshevik Revolution, Stalinist Russia, Mao Zedong, the Khmer Rouge killing fields, North Vietnam, Castro's Cuba. The left was in love with these killing fields. And I diagnosed this and tried to explain it the best I could. And the flirtation with and romance with communism continues,
yeah,
but it also widened. And there is a love affair with jihad. And today, when we look at the left frothing at the mouth that the Iranian people just might be free, when they begin to sob that Khomeini was killed or that the mullahs have been killed, and they're sobbing and angry, I explain why that is. And it's a lot of darkness there. And behind the smiles of the left, we have a movement and an ideology rooted in malice and in the demonic realm.
Wow. Well, let me get into that too in a sec. But
well,
you know,
where'd you come into the United States? Where you grown up? Where grew up?
Oh well, when we escaped, we stayed at a Catholic monastery for a while in Rome, but I mainly grew up in Nyack, New York, and Wayland, Massachusetts, and I was very close to saying "Ma pacta cad habet yad." But I ended up in Canada for many, many years, and I'm back now.
Well, I want to get into the demonic stuff, but I also want to ask you, how much of it is orchestrated? I was reading, and this the Fox News digital team did some great work on that. That billionaire, what's his name, Singham, who lives in Shanghai. Mm. And they did a deep dive into all of the, so he's very pro-China, pro-communist, very anti-America, and all of the money that he funnels into these groups, millions and millions of dollars, right? So these spontaneous protests are anything but spontaneous. They're well-funded and well-organized. Mm-hmm. And when what are there people, individuals? What's driving this? And talk a little bit about how you say, you know, the demonic part of it too.
Well, thank you, Julie. Well, I'll start here in the sense that, look, this is really a cosmic spiritual battle. And those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we have an insight into really what's happening. Our Jewish brothers and sisters also in their faith have an insight also into this battle that's happening. I can say that when Lucifer fell from heaven and what caused all of that in terms of his pride and wanting to be like God, that virus right there of pride and wanting to be God was passed down to humans and inoculated right into us. So you see, leftists think that they can get back to Eden on their own. They don't need to say mea culpa or forgive me, Father, for my sins, or to seek any kind of redemption through Christ's blood. They are the self-appointed redeemers. They're going to create a perfect planet on earth, and they're going to create perfect people. But in order to achieve that, the old earth has to be destroyed. There has to be a ground zero. And then they build their utopia on top of it. Okay? They can get back to Eden on their own without God. We know through history that every single attempt at doing this, at building heaven on earth, leads to hell. And because the leftist wants to build this classless utopia on earth and create a ground zero, he needs help. And so when we have these totalitarian enemies, like those that believe in Sharia and Jihad, they're also building their Sharia paradise on earth. They're building Sharia paradise and need ground zero. The left needs its classless utopia and they need ground zero. They're not united in love. They're united in hate. And so, yes, there's the enemy of my enemy is my friend fits in, but they also share a lot. They share the hatred of the individual. They share the hatred of the Judeo-Christian tradition. They share the hatred of freedom and of prosperity. And so the left has a lot in common here. And ultimately, it's a death wish, Julie, because when you see the left believes that it can shape man, it doesn't believe that there's a human nature. And especially after the fall, we are tainted by original sin. We're driven by self-interest. We need the Lord's forgiveness. We are awaiting Christ's return and redemption through Christ's blood. You see, the left believes that on its own, it can reshape man. It can create the new Soviet man. But every time it tries this, it doesn't work. So the left hates man for who and what he is. But if you hate man for who and what he is, what ends up happening when you look in the mirror?
Yeah.
And so I often think about suicide by cop. You see that crazy guy out there, he's trying to provoke the cops to get shot. What if that was an entire national movement? You got to ask yourself, why would you open up a border?
Yeah.
Why would you let in ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Chinese nationals, cartel, rapists? Why would you do that? Why would leftist feminists travel to Palestinian territories, as I document in my book, to help with the Palestinian cause, and then they're getting brutalized and raped by the people that they're trying to help, and then they stay quiet about it because
right.
They don't want to delegitimize the cause? And we have to think about this. And I'll say this, that in the recent past, when there was that little attempt or big attempt to put certain things into our bodies, there was a certain lineup. There'd be a lineup at this place and they're doing it. You know, I always speak in code language. Sometimes I speak in code language just to outsmart these SOBs, because this is another issue, but I'm sure you confront this as well, Julie. For us dissidents, we can speak the truthful word, but then we can reach two people. Or we can very cleverly not say a certain word and reach a million people and get the truth across.
Yeah.
So sometimes I change tactics in what I'm doing. Hey, if we want to get on YouTube and reach a million people, just let me say the word potion instead of something else, right? But we can discuss those tactics because there's also a time to also just say the truth. Absolutely, right? But so people were in a lineup to get a certain potion. And then somebody passes out. And they fall on the ground, and a stretcher comes in, and they carry him out, and the people stay in the lineup.
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself, what is that? What it is sacrificing your own life for the sake of the idea.
Jonestown.
The left is a religion.
Yeah.
It has an idea. It's willing to take its own life. Unfortunately, it brings us all down with them.
And it seems to me, you know, Chuck, you mentioned Jonestown. There are certain, I think, very much cultish aspects to it. Because I think you're right. I think there are a lot of people who know this. And I think there are people even above them. And not just, I think, in America, but who are trying to control the world and to create, you know, the new world order kind of thing. And then you have your average wine mom in suburbia. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, all of a sudden becomes a Democrat and hates ICE for no reason. And I sometimes think, like a lot of people, I used to be a TV reporter and did some stories on cults. And almost inevitably, the people who join actually have underlying mental health issues. And they're mm-hmm. just looking for something. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that happens.
I guess I disagree with that.
Well, let me just finish my thought. And then you can. But I mean, I also think that there are, I mean, you look at some of these crazed women, mm-hmm. particularly on TikTok and things like that, who become hysterical and would never dare a Republican man or whatever, right? And I kind of wonder if it's sort of like the left is a cult. So there's some safety to a certain extent in somebody who tells you exactly what to think and how to behave.
Yes.
And that it's, you don't think that with some of these people.
No, I think, I think a lot of us are part of cults because that's part of humanity. Mormonism is a cult. And people did incredible things looking for that utopia. Christianity is a cult in its own way. And we're all drawn into various groupings all the way through. What is amazing to me, notwithstanding, as our guest has said, that every time we've tried to create a utopian society, whether the Paris Commune, whether it's here in Colorado for Horace Greeley's utopian one, it always ends up awful. All utopian societies end up. Yet we do them again and again and again and
yes.
again, and we'll
yes.
do it again.
Absolutely.
It's some part of human nature will not change, that will not change.
Yes, and I don't think we're in conflict here. Julie is very correct. You're correct. Human nature in terms of the fallen state without God and without Jesus, that's what's going to start gravitating there. So I'll just say where Julie is absolutely right. If you're a woman and you are not married and you do not have children and you are not going to church, the chances are very large that you will be more predisposed to getting purple hair, getting really angry, screaming at a pro-choice rally, and then trying to block traffic.
Yes.
And so the illegal immigrants become the little cubs that they want to protect.
Right.
There's a lot of mental illness and compensation here. There is, when we talk about cult, there is a tremendous also terror of being excommunicated by your clique because it's a social life. It's much harder also for women than for men on certain realms. For instance, just in the recent past, I was at a gym involved in certain athletic activities, and just some females that I know there, we were engaged in, you know, there was some combat activities, etc. And one of the women wanted to use the boxing bag, asked me to make a video. And she goes, "But just a second, Jamie." And she puts her mask on. She hadn't been wearing it the whole time. Then she goes, "Oh, Susie and Becky will kill me if they see me without this." And she puts it on. And of course, I'm making up the names. But I was thinking, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because, oh, they'll put the mask on. And then they'll brag about how they were in bed for 3 weeks and couldn't move because of the potion they got. And then they'll even brag and engage in all this if they can't even breathe with this mask on. And maybe even if they end up dying, it's better than to be excommunicated from the clique.
Well, like that
So you
last
see,
woman
the left is a
woman in
social,
Paris.
it's a social movement.
Like that woman in the
They get the pat
Soho,
on the back. So just, and it just 5 seconds left, the leftist friends that I have, and they'll say, Jamie, why do you like Trump? And I'll say, why are we arguing? You'll never agree with me, even if
right.
I agree, because you're going to lose all your friends.
Well, I was going to say, but you're, to prove your point, the woman who was that crazy woman who was trying to run over the ICE agent and ends up getting shot, it's
yes.
like, and she's a hero? No one is saying, you know what I mean?
No.
And I'm sure at some level she would do it again if she could,
yes.
right? I mean,
yes,
because,
yes.
And,
and they're giving their life. They're,
yeah.
they're sacrificing their own life for the idea.
Well, what's kind of interesting and maybe a little controversial, so forgive me for that, but
yes,
you know, on the right, we're also fractionating. I mean, you have your forward for Ambassador Mike Huckabee. He's become a highly controversial figure in the last year. And certainly Mark Levine, Ben Shapiro, they all came with that. We must shame anybody who listens to a claim about Israel. If you listen to it, you should be excluded. You should be shamed out of it. And it hasn't worked. It's actually exactly reversed. But Mike Huckabee is seen by many, some, not many, some as being so pro-Israel that he's almost anti-American. And it's an interesting battle among the right. I wonder how you view it all.
Well, I would, with all humility, disagree with that perspective.
Okay.
I don't think that they're shaming anybody. I think that they're trying to crystallize people that have an evil position. So perhaps we'll save this debate for another time.
I love debates. So we're
yeah.
talking about you promoting your book.
Right.
We'll bring
no,
you back.
I don't think they're trying. I mean, if you are trying to separate the Jews from their land and trying to separate Christians from their Jewish roots, and you're trying to de-Judify Jesus, and you're trying to make Israel the bad guy in a war against Islam and jihad, you need to be called out for that. It's not about shaming. Being anti-Israel is being anti-American, and perhaps we'll save this debate for another time. But where we would agree is something that's happening on the right, and we are splintering and we are dividing.
Yes.
But there is, at this moment, in terms of my field and what I'm studying,
right.
the left has infected certain elements in the right. And so some of the individuals that Mark Levine and Ben may not like, and who we know are very vocal right now in terms of being anti-Israel, their anti-Israel disposition very much intersects with a Stockholm syndrome with Islam. We see a very strong pro-Sharia sentiment now growing in our camp, and this is very concerning, and it can be very well understood in terms of what I explain in United in Hate.
And, you know, and I want to kind of follow through on that. I got to wonder, though, how much of that is money driven. You look at my son listens to a comedian, Tim Dillon is his name, and he kind of is anti-Trump, but he's pretty funny. And that he says, and he points out, because he kind of understands how the social media influencer world works, right? And he's saying, if you think any of these people are saying anything that isn't for money, you're crazy. He said people need to understand how much sponsorship, silent or otherwise, drives somebody's social media platform for some of these things. Which kind of leads me to the one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I agree we can talk about that. How do you see the rise of the tech companies like Palantir, Meta, places like that? Because these groups, I think some of them operate even outside of, you know, what we would call liberal or not liberal, right? And yet they are creating systems that I think are going to be with AI and things like that, that are gathering so much information. I mean, I don't even know where that goes, but I wonder how, if you see that sort of throwing a wrench into sort of kind of current politics as we look at it.
Julie, you bring up something very important. I just want to just go back just a little bit. I think it's It's very, very wrong and dangerous and hazardous to try to suggest that money is involved here. Now, just don't get me
Okay.
wrong. There are some realms. Absolutely, there are certain individuals that are like, oh, let me lick my finger. Let me see where the wind is going. Oh, that's not popular anymore. Let me go over here so I can get more views and a bit more money. Of course, that exists. Of course, there's individuals motivated by money. We got that. But to try to emphasize that and to try to say that an ideological movement is behind that, well, if you're going to do that, and let me backtrack here just for a second. When you look at Nazism and Hitler, and you look at this attempt to eliminate the Jewish people from the face of the earth, and you look at what Islam is doing and trying to do that as well, because they believe in Sahih Muslim 6985, the genocidal hadith, to kill all Jews before the day of judgment, or the day of judgment is not happening. Satan is involved. There's a cosmic war, there's a spiritual battle. He believes that if he can take out the Jews, maybe he can prevent the second coming from happening, because the Jews are the law and the light through which God brought his light and into the world. He chose Mary, a Jewish woman, for a certain reason. The Jewish people, as Roy Shoman has documented in his work, they play a central role in salvation. And Jesus came through the Jews the first time, and he will return through the Jewish people the second time. And Satan has a certain agenda. This is where a lot of anti-Semitism is rooted. And I ain't going to be on the other side. Okay,
So you're
so,
saying.
but why I'm raising that is not to start a debate about this, but if it might even be true what I'm saying, this has nothing to do with money. And so when Islam teaches in Surahs 4-4, in 3350, in 3359, in 2431, about having sex slaves, about raping the women that are not appropriately dressed, this has nothing to do with money. We are facing an ideological movement.
Well,
Are there
let me ask.
people? Are there people, of course, that want to get popularity and go with where the money is? Absolutely. Two things can exist at the same time.
Right. That's
But
what I
I'm
was.
just stressing, let us not blind ourselves that there are evil ideas in the world.
So you would say
Well,
that. Let me just finish
let me
this.
have a few
Okay,
minutes
okay,
to
okay.
occasionally talk.
We're married.
We're married, too. Right
Okay.
now, Judaism, Israel has never been stronger in many ways. It's in its least vulnerable state. But worldwide, it is very tough to be Jewish in a country not the United States, in a lot of different places. The left in the United States has turned against many of its Jewish roots and Israeli roots. And now it's a fight over on the right. Why has Judaism, Israel, and so forth, and somehow, in some ways, alienated so many?
Well, again, I don't see it in this way. There's a saying that people can be hated in the world not because of what they do wrong, but because of what they do right.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the
Right?
answer.
And so, I'm very glad you brought that up, because what I show in United in Hate is when the Stalinist killing machine was at its height, the left became just in ecstatic euphoria. When those Maoist killing fields were at their height, the left was in euphoria. And when I looked at October 7th and I saw the Jewish victims of that barbarity, I knew immediately that anti-Semitism would skyrocket in the world,
Yeah.
especially on the left, because they live vicariously through the Jew-hating torture of the Jewish people. It's not because of what the Jewish people are doing wrong. It's because
Yeah.
of who the Jews represent and what Israel represents that they are hated by the left. Because if you believe in the wrong things, you're going to hate the good people. And so that's my position on that. But where we would agree, if we disagree on who's right and wrong, we would definitely agree that there is a anti-Semitism skyrocketing,
Yes.
and not just on the left, but
On the right too. Yes.
it is now penetrated the conservative movement,
Correct.
and it is interwoven with a Sharia worship and a Stockholm syndrome with Islam.
I
And
don't see
this
the
is what's
right. I
very
don't see the right being Sharia loving. I mean, there are lots of other things the right is, but it's not.
Well,
sure
you need to start listening very closely to Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
true.
They have millions of viewers and followers, and listen to their themes, listen to what they're saying about Islam, listen to how they're ridiculing the protesters in the street in Iran, listen to how they're allying themselves with the mullahs.
Okay. Well,
very pro-Islamic dispositions, and
well,
this is going to grow. And my fear is that they will take over the Republican Party.
Well, then what's left?
So let us be very prepared, because after Trump, if the Republicans take power, we're going to have the first administration, not even a leftist, but perhaps a right-wing one, which abandons Israel in the Middle East. I'm sorry that I talked too much.
Who does Israel have after that?
Pardon me?
If the United States abandons its greatest ally,
yes,
who does Israel have left to be allies with?
Only itself and the Lord.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Here's my question then, and then we'll let you go, because I've kept you longer than I meant, but you've been great. So it seems to me, though, what both you guys are saying is kind of right, and what your theory, I agree with it, is that underlying all of this is the battle between good and evil. And evil chooses at different times, different sort of avatars, for lack of a better word, that it represents. But underneath it all, this is a battle between good and evil.
Absolutely, Julie. And when you are, and on the left, you know, I remember when I first wrote my little pamphlet, 15 Tips on How to Be a Good Leftist, I wanted to surprise my parents. And my dad, it got published, and my dad said, "You should have approached me, son, because you didn't mention the need to erase shame." And on the left, one of the key impulses is they need to erase the concept of shame, because they do not want to say mea culpa. And I would just end with this for people to think about in terms of what you're saying, Julie. Not only do they want to create a supposed equality on earth, and we know that that's a lie, but they can't stand hierarchy and achievement. But they also want equality in terms of shame, because in the end, the leftist enterprise is to try to avoid the final judgment.
Huh?
It's not just here. Yeah. It's after our life. They cannot handle that they will be judged for what they do. They want to erase that. Thank you so much.
Get your book.
I'm so grateful. United in Hate, obviously Amazon.
Okay.
Go to jamieglasoff.com. But it is an honor for me to work at frontpagemag.com, David Horowitz's journal.
Yes, great.
God
great.
Bless his soul.
Yes.
He fought against the left. We're still pursuing his.
I had him on the show a lot.
Pursuing his legacy. Yeah. Go to frontpagemag.com and you can get it there. I think it's more relevant than ever, because when you have people sobbing when a mullah gets killed, you got to try to diagnose that.
All right. So,
Jamie, it's great to have you. Maybe someday we'll do the debate, because it'd be a lot of fun. You're a very bright guy, so it'd be a lot of fun. So thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for your book.
Great book.
God bless you, and I really appreciate it. And maybe Julie should let you talk a little bit more. I'm just trying to get on your good side.
No, I'm kidding.
I liked her talking more, because I have a feeling she agrees with me more than you do. I'm just playing. Okay.
No, that's fine.
That's perfect.
Talk
okay.
to you later. Thank you.
Okay.
Jamie.
Okay.
It's like, remember when who was the listener had the let Chuck talk button?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys will send me the link, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Take care.
It's
okay.
On
take care.
And Podbean.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. All right. Well, okay. Yeah. Jamie Glasoff there. Yeah. United. Hey. Well, I was reading the book a little bit. You would love it, Chuck. It's very good. It's very good. Want to switch to something else? Something kind of fun. We have Sherry on line one. So we'll postpone that for a second and go to Sherry. Hey, Sherry. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Great, because I did kind of want to comment about your conversation and your guest.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the story when you collect 100 black ants and you collect 100 fire ants, you put them in a glass jar, and nothing will happen. They'll live side by side. But if you shake the jar violently and then you leave it, they'll start killing each other. because the red believes the black's the enemy and the black believes the red's the enemy. So what you really have to look at is who shook the jar, not the red ants and the black ants. And so one of the things that I think that should be pointed out, the Shah of Iran originally was put there in the 1950s by British Petroleum through MI6.
And CIA, yeah.
When the Shah realized they were getting ripped off by British Petroleum and he kind of didn't want that anymore, they went and got the Ayatollah Khomeini. He was in France. And he's very rich. He owns all kinds of real estate. And the United Kingdom flew him to Iran. And he took the deal that British Petroleum offered him. And he quit giving the money to the Iranian people and started selling the oil through London banking infrastructure. 30% of all that oil comes through that strait. So who controls the majority of the oil flow monetarily around the world? And that's the London banks. So who controls the insurance of every ship that goes through there? Well, we know, Lloyd of London's. And so Lloyd of London's and the London bankers are financing all the oil. And they're the ones trading the future contracts and the derivative market. So who controls the Ayatollah Khomeini? I mean, it's the United Kingdom. He's got a net worth of $48 billion. His son was financing real estate all through Europe. And if you look, the city of London is responsible for dividing the Middle East up the way that they divided it up. And it makes profit for them. There's a thing called Iran terror premium. And anytime they want to jack up global oil prices or have a global energy scarcity event, all they have to do is say, Iran is threatening the Straits of Hormuz. They're threatening Israel. They're threatening the USA. The United Kingdom started the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah. You always have great and interesting thoughts. I mean, I don't think Britain is in charge of anything these days. It's going down the drain. But it's great to hear your thoughts, which are not ones that I necessarily agree with, but you're always interesting and well-informed.
Well, and you raise a very good question. I mean, it's sort of like follow the money. Like you said, who shook the jar, right? And it's always interesting to see people have a reason for shaking the jar. Hey, Sherry, thank you for the call in. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. So I want to talk about one thing. It's, you know, Jamie was talking about the left and how do you battle them. But sometimes you can just let them fail on their own. Just, you know, let them have their own way. And what's going on in New York is kind of similar. Chuck, you were the one who caught this. So the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, a couple years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago in 2022, told all the rich people who didn't like living in New York to get out of it and go to Florida. Well, now she's back.
Please come back.
She's begging you because everything's falling apart in New York. So, Doug, if we could please play the Hochul soundbite here. This is pretty funny.
On a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? Get out of town. Get out of town.
I need people who are high net worth to support the generous social programs that we want to have in our state. Right now, there are some patriotic millionaires who stepped up. Okay, cut me the checks. I mean, just if you want to be supportive, but maybe the first step should be go down to Palm Beach and see who you can bring back home, because our tax base has been eroded.
I wonder why. Like California.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I wanted to talk about. We're doing the exact same thing in Denver. The Denver Business Journal did an interesting thing where they talked about Denver office sales. And we've talked about this before. I mean, you know, you could buy, like we could buy like a downtown Denver office building practically anymore. And we're talking a skyscraper. I'm not talking about a condo or a floor on it. We could buy the whole thing. So these are just some of the biggest office towers in Denver that have sold recently. So City Center sold for $57.4 million. That's down 86% since 2020. Denver Energy Center sold for $5.25 million. That's down 97% from 2013. Trinity Place, $6 million, down 85% since 2015. Hudson's Bay Center $8.95 million down 78%. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, the question is why? And it's because the Democrats, the left policies, have destroyed downtown Denver. First,
there are a lot of things destroyed downtown Denver, and not just, I mean, because it's everywhere around the country because of office, you know, you can work from home.
But who started that? The left, right? Well, who shut us down and all that?
They didn't do that.
Well, and they kept it shut down. But
well, it wasn't a grand conspiracy on that level. But at any rate, Denver in Colorado, there was a wonderful article in Westward in which they said, yay, Palantir is leaving. The biggest company in Colorado by, you know, capital worth is leaving. Yeah, all their rich executives, all they contribute to are Democrats, right? They know you don't contribute to Republicans. Yay, they're going. So we lose all those, and because they go to the Defense Department and DHS and everything else. In the meantime, all the ones up in Boulder, like NCAR and everything else, are being cut by the Trump administration because they know they're just climate alarmists and everything else. They're all leaving.
Right.
They're all leaving, and there's a petitions out for ballots to get rid of the rest of the oil and gas industry, and they'll be thrilled. We want to, you know, the leftists in Denver want to be like California. Hooray, they're all gone. Yay, we all live in poverty.
I was reading the left, and with the Democrats in charge of the legislature, this could pass. They want to start charging corporations, big corporations in particular, a $2,300 fee on every employee. Well, that's going to bring people in.
That'll make lots of jobs.
Not only does it hurt if somebody's thinking about coming here, you wouldn't even anywhere put Denver on your radar because you're like, they're crazy there. You wouldn't even risk it.
Well, right? It isn't on anybody's radar.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, they have the $1.5 billion deficit. They found that this massive percentage of Medicaid is being paid to illegal immigrants. So we can't just stop that, right? We can't stop that. Nope. We have to start taxing corporations and people who are actually working for a living. And I mean, it's just ridiculous, but you'll see. I mean, I don't know how long it'll take. And I don't know, maybe is Denver smart enough even? I don't know. For all of a sudden them to start saying, oh, maybe we should not be so anti-business. Maybe we should not be so.
Because Denver is filled with government employees, and government employees don't see themselves as part of, God, I got my job, except those, some of those jobs are going. But they, you know, they're Western are just thrilled. Yay. Yeah, you know, those evil Palantir people, all the people who bought homes and went to restaurants and bought cars and everything else, it's all gone.
Right.
And you know, I predicted this in the Chronicle. I mean, Denver's going to go through a crash. A crash is coming. And I looked at every economist in Colorado to see anybody agree with me. Not one did. They all said, well, it's not going to go up, but it's going to tear. Just give it a table so we can tax the shit out of everybody.
Well, there's not going to be anyone left to tax, right? Leo makes a good point. Seattle is looking at adding a vacancy tax on unused office space.
Great
way to get out of a doom spiral. Okay, yeah, who's going to pay the vacancy? If it's vacant, who are they going to tax?
Well, the building will go to the state. The state can pay it.
The state can pay it, and then they'll sell it to $1 million. Yeah. And you know, and they're like, oh, we'll convert it to homeless space. They don't even talk about that anymore. Right.
Well, they do.
Not that much, because number one, there's no money for that. Number two, everyone's like, no, that's not even remotely practically feasible. It's cheaper to just tear it down. Yeah. So it's just, I just thought it was interesting. She's like, we need to go down to Palm Springs and get those people back up here, or Palm Beach rather. And it's like, they're not coming back.
Not Palm Springs. Well, same.
Yeah.
You were in Palm Springs.
Right. They weren't.
They're not going to bring you back.
They're not going to go back.
Are you kidding? They didn't say, look, we got more policies. We appreciate you. We love you. No, come back so we can rape you. Okay, sure. I want to be patriotic and pay for your worthless welfare state. No, she might as well give an advertisement. Get out of New York while you can.
Right.
Get the hell out while
because
you can.
Because it's going to get worse it's going to be like anything. You have all these socialist programs. Sooner or later, you have to start paying for
it. Socialists are they're just programs for people to rip, Democrats to rip off. And give all the money to nonprofits because they're providing services to
their relatives.
Well, not to their relatives, but
they're hiring their relatives. All the nonprofits. You look at the Denver Democrat legislature in Colorado, right? So many of them, their relatives are all on these NGO payrolls, right?
Oh, sure, absolutely,
It's just ridiculous.
We got to do an NGO. I mean, we're behind the times. The Chuck and Julie NGO. You guys would all support it.
One other thing I wanted to talk about, and this is, I have mixed feelings on this. So today, was it today? Maybe it was yesterday, a $3 million jury award against Meta and YouTube, which is owned by Google, for a woman who said when she was younger, she became addicted to scrolling through the feeds. And she said that Meta and YouTube specifically designed the product to addict her, and it worked. And now she has mental health issues and it's their fault. And the jury agreed with her. At the same time, there was at a different state, I think this is in New Mexico, a $375 million award also against Meta and Facebook for failing to protect kids. What they did there.
Why are you ambivalent about this insanity?
Well, I have mixed feelings because on one hand,
The Democratic side coming out, it's deep in the recess of your mind. Your Democratic attribute.
Mixed feelings. The juries have, the people have a right to sue and juries have a right to award it.
Destroy the economy, destroy the biggest services we have. $375 million for just one person?
Well, and they're going to, no, the $375 million is a multi-person, multiple settlement. But the $3 million award, I mean, $3 million isn't going to hurt Meta or YouTube.
1,000 times of $3 million.
Well, here's the interesting thing, is you're right, is that there's a part of me that's like, well, wait a minute, you have to quit using your scroll, right? Or if you're a parent.
Yeah, well, who sent me to social media? And everybody else who's ever been on social media, which is YouTube and everything else, I'm addicted to it a little bit, and we all are. That's how we get our information and everything else. But if we're just suing because plaintiffs, tort lawyers want money, and if this trend can finish.
As someone who actually read through the whole thing.
Well, good. Let me finish for once. If we allow them to destroy these companies, we're insane.
It's not going to destroy the companies. What's interesting, though, when you go through and you start reading about the trial is that, and this is why it was clever on them, they didn't attack them for the product, right? Or for the content, they attacked them in the product design, and they came up with, and they had all of these emails where they were specifically creating algorithms, and the whole intent, as these emails and everything explained, was to addict people. And so, that's kind of evil on the one hand, and some of these companies are evil, so I don't really necessarily mind, somebody, taking a shot at Meta. I don't know. The thing is how do you fix it? I think it's going to release a slew of lawsuits against it. So you would disagree. You would say
it's the worst thing I've ever
heard. Even if they were saying, even if the evidence revealed that they were specifically working very hard to create something that was addictive.
We've been trying to do that for this program for a long time. And so Leo and Johnny and everybody else can sue us because we've tried, we hope it's addictive, and we haven't been succeeded yet, but we hope it's addictive. Everybody wants to use their products. I mean, it's one thing when you say,
Starbucks, I remember years ago, I had a friend who was like, I don't go to Starbucks because it's addictive. And I'm like, well, that's why I go to Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I willingly shell it out. But it is interesting. I don't know if it's going to market change or not. This would be my prediction, that these giant media or social media organizations are almost too big to fail. I mean, there will be lawsuits, but they will very quickly come up with defenses against it. And the one was a jury in California, so who knows about that. I think that there will be a rash of people saying, oh, we need to pass laws and stuff like that. But I would also say this, because I do agree with you on this, so maybe I shouldn't be indicating that I disagree with you so much. If you've got a kid on Facebook, you need to be keeping track of it. And if your kid is getting sexually explicit things and sexual offers, I remember it goes back as basic years ago doing a story with the guys at Jefferson County Sheriff's Department who did great child predator investigations.
They were sucking in people trying to get them because they wanted to arrest more people.
No, but what they would say is very simple. One of the things you do is you the cell phone doesn't go with your kid at night into bed, right?
That's true.
The phones in your own room, in the bedroom and stuff like that. Johnny says, I love this show too much to sue, LOL. Leo, just wait till I sue Coors, LOL. That's true. But I find it interesting though, that there is, to me what this says, is that there is a certain amount of, at least jury revolt against you know, some of these massive companies. I think people are aware of how much influence they have and how unchecked that influence is. Right. And I don't know how you check it. I mean, well,
the
human choice.
The only way you check it is the government. And when they check it, you're going to get even a worse result.
Right. Well, and when they check it, it'll not be a worse result. It'll be just people making money, right? You think some of the oil and gas fights and some of the property tax fights or something, when you start seeing, you know, things like that. Well, and it'd be a mess because every state will cobble its own. But I thought it was interesting because I do think that that does indicate that there are some people who are sort of, I don't know that it's a jury nullification kind of verdict, but it almost kind of has that feel. You know what I mean? Where the juries are like, we're going to stick it to these giant companies.
Well, the juries love to stick it to people.
Right. Particularly giant companies like Facebook.
Sure.
Well, everybody kind of love to hate. And YouTube,
any,
too.
Any company they love to
do. Right. But I don't know. You're a lawyer. I mean, I think that every lawyer in the country is gearing up their Sue Meta division.
No,
you think?
But there'll be big law firms who, that's all they'll do. They'll have all these AI generated briefs, and that's all they'll do, because that's what the tobacco was. So I mean, it's see if we can bring.
Well, how did you, real quick, because we only have a few minutes, how did the tobacco thing work?
They destroyed all those companies. Basically, big tobacco is no longer big. I mean, they paid billions upon billions upon billions. They can't advertise. And I have to say, you know, the lawsuits about tobacco being awful for you. Whoa. I mean, anybody smoked for a long time, your chances of getting
tobacco
cancer.
Tobacco's worse for you than Facebook. Barely, but.
Well, one's a physical addiction, others a mental addiction.
That was a joke.
But I mean, the big suit's coming up, in my opinion, is a gambling addiction. Because we are turning generations of people into gambling addicts. And I can promise you, you know, I used to gamble a lot, and I watched a lot of people gamble a lot. And I never came what I consider addicted to it, but I could see.
I was a cheap gambler. I would if I lost $100, if I had $100, I would be I'd freak out and I'd go drink.
That's the next big lawsuit.
You're right. Well, because it's there and then they're making money. So you're right. Somebody's going to say, oh, all your advertising pushed me into and swayed me.
Well, they say, bet on this free throw. Bet on it. And we'll take 10 cents out of every bet and then soon you'll be broke.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us. On Monday, we're going to have Ash Epp on, kind of a huge election integrity scandal. The clerk of the largest county, El Paso County, pulled out, and this is something Ash has been talking about, we've been talking about, the Colorado Clerks Association.
Good for him.
Talking about just essentially how non-transparent, how Rep. Jenna Griswold is running things, et cetera, et cetera.
And that bat brain and all
that. Right, and all of that. So Ash is going to be on doing a deep dive into that. So, yeah. So thank you, everybody on Zoom. Great guys at BBS and Jimmy Glasshoff.
Write in your emails. Chuck must speak more. Just
hey, everybody, we'll see you later. See you next time.